4, verses 23 to 30. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we like to claim these words right now that when we pass through the fire, you be with us. When we pass through the water, you will be with us. When we pass through the shadows, you will be with us. And when we pass through the darkness, you will be with us. And Lord, we now want to pray that you will help us unpack this prayer which the early disciples of Jesus prayed as they face the odds against them. And we pray, Lord, that we may learn from the early church how they testified to the power of the resurrected Lord in their lives. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name do we pray these things, and the people said, Amen. So this is Acts 4, and the church is a new community in Jerusalem. However, they live in a very uncertain time. Their main leaders, Peter and John, have just healed a lame beggar in Acts chapter 3. And as they give explanation for the healing, they point to the resurrected Jesus. The Jewish religious leaders are very angry. They put Peter and John in jail. But the news of this healing spread around the whole of Jerusalem, and 5,000 people joined this new community at that particular time. And then suddenly, out of the blue, the Jewish religious leaders release Peter and John. Peter and John are released. Shouldn't that be a time to relax? But this makes them even pray more for God's help. The Lord is risen. And God's people are concerned about the governing authorities making life difficult for them. Although the Lord is risen, they face life full of challenges. These religious leaders have made life difficult for Jesus, so will they make life difficult for them, the followers of Jesus, the resurrected Messiah? So what did they do? And we're going to unpack this prayer. First of all, they pour their concerns before God. They're not afraid to bring the bare bones before God, if you like. And they ask the question, why, Lord? Why, Lord? So let us pray this prayer right now and recite these verses that the early church prayed as they prayed about their situation. Let us read this prayer that they prayed. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Look at their prayer. They are not afraid to tell it like it is to the Lord. They are not afraid to say, why? Why are the angels conspiring against us and against Jesus? And so I feel that these early Christians model a prayer life for us. We shouldn't be afraid to say, why, Lord? Why, Lord? In our lives. So they pour out their hearts before God. And they're not afraid to say, why, Lord? The Jewish religious leaders are against them. And they were the ones who successfully persuaded Herod and Pontius Pilate to crucify Jesus. And so now they come before the Lord and they say, why, Lord, will the same thing happen to us? Will we also be put in prison and possibly go to the cross like Jesus? That's the first thing they do. But even before they pray, why, Lord, there is something that we can learn from the early followers of Jesus. They first of all acknowledge that God is the creator, number one, that God is the sovereign Lord. God is creator and God is the sovereign Lord. So in the passage that Kirsten just read for us, before they prayed that prayer, why Lord, this is what they said. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God, and this is what they said. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it. You are the creator, and you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? So before they moved into the prayer of asking why, Lord, they acknowledge that God is creator, that God is sovereign Lord. And they are even willing to acknowledge the sovereignty of God to the extent that when they talk about the religious authorities of Jerusalem putting Jesus on the cross, they say this. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. So they are saying that even when the religious leaders and Herod and Pontius Pilate put Jesus on the cross, it was already predetermined by God. So they're saying that God is sovereign even when the difficult things of life happen to us and happen to Jesus. That's very difficult, isn't it? Because sometimes when we're going through a lot of struggles in life, it is, when we, especially when we pray the why, Lord, prayer, it is very difficult to say to God, God, you are sovereign creator. You made the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And you are doing what is best for me now. It is so difficult to pray that prayer. And yet, these early Christians model that prayer life for us and encourage us to acknowledge the sovereignty of God, even when things go bad in our lives. And now we're going to pray the prayer that they prayed. So they acknowledge God as sovereign creator and Lord. Then they prayed that why Lord prayer. And this is their petition in which they finally pray the prayer. Okay, so let us read this prayer together. This is the petition before God as they look at the circumstances around them. So let us pray this prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask us to pray this prayer again for another reason. You will hear from Session and the elders in the days to come, and you already have seen it through what is happening in our church today. We are going through a time of transition. We do not know what our church will look like in the next year, in the next 2 years. All we know is that life around us is changing, and we, as a congregation itself, demographically is changing. And I feel that we need to pray this prayer in this context. So I'm going to ask us to read this prayer again and to pray this prayer that God will lead us in the days ahead. So let us pray this prayer again. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. What a prayer! What a prayer by the early followers of Jesus. The odds are stacked against them. Yet, what do they do? Number one, consider their threats and give us boldness, Lord. Number two, stretch out your hand, God, and perform mighty deeds, mighty signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. What a prayer. What a prayer. Last year, we observed Persecuted Church Sunday and prayed for believers in India and Iraq. And you know that in some countries, there are Christians who are minorities in those countries and suffer a lot because of their faith. On May 15th next month, the Muslims start their 30-day journey of fasting from sun up to sundown. And we will be ordering the 30 days Muslim prayer focus again to help us understand Muslims and Islam and to pray for Christians who live in Muslim countries and to pray for Muslim friends in our midst. So I'm just now going to share the story of Amy. The story of Amy that is very real in for a Christian believer in a particular country in which Christians are a minority. Amy lives in one of the Middle Eastern nations, which I will not name. And this is the story that comes from a previous 30-day Muslim prayer focus guide. And Amy is not her real name. Amy was a 23-year-old Muslim girl with a smile that could light up a room. Like so many people in the country, she was warm and friendly and curious about Westerners. This led her to a friendship with a Christian family from America who showed her the love of Christ and led her to faith in Him. Amy's immediate impulse was to share her new faith with her mother. After watching the Jesus film together, Amy's mother said, "I should kill you for this." Amy was stunned and soon became concerned when her uncle would do what her mother couldn't. Amy left home and found a job in a resort hotel, only to have a boss attempt to blackmail her in exchange for sexual favors. Amy fled again and was soon arrested by the police. "Tell us who converted you," they demanded, "and we will let you go." When I found Amy a year later, she was hiding in the home of a kind Muslim couple. I gave her a New Testament and promised to meet her again. Knowing I would have only one day with Amy before leaving the country, I wonder what were the most important scripture verses I could share with this sister whose faith has cost her so much. I didn't have to wonder long. Amy had devoured the first 10 chapters of Matthew's Gospel. "Listen to this," she said. "Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. And that at that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Amy looked at me in her eyes. Her smile had returned. "He knew," she said. "Jesus knew." For Amy, it was enough. Jesus knew her situation and would always be with her. Jesus is inside me now, she said, pointing to her heart. He will never leave me. When you pass through the water, I'll be with you. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you. When you pass through the shadows, I will be with you. When you pass through the darkness, I will be with you. And so after this particular prayer by the early Christians, there is a report of God's grace being at work. And I want us to now see what are the results of the prayer they prayed. Remember again, how did they pray? Number one, they acknowledged that God is sovereign and God is creator. Number two, they prayed, why, Lord? Why did you send Herod and Pontius Pilate and the religious authorities to persecute us? And number three, they prayed the petition. Enable us to pray, to speak with boldness and stretch out your hand to do signs and wonders in Jesus' name. So remember these three parts of the prayer and you will see now the results of what happened. So shall we read together God's grace at work? What happens after they pray this prayer? All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. So remember that they asked the Lord to enable them to speak the word with boldness. And number two, they prayed that God will stretch out their hand and do the mighty signs and wonders in Jesus' name. So there was a prayer for boldness and prayer for God to stretch out their hand. Now, you will think that if they prayed this prayer, wouldn't Luke, as he writes the story of Acts chapter 4, start to refer to, you know, signs and wonders, people being healed and miracles happening. Instead, what does Luke then report? He reports that God did enable them to speak with boldness and stretch out hand, but they witness through their love for each other. There was no needy person among them. They sell their houses or land or place the money at the apostles' feet who distribute it to anyone who had need. So it wasn't the signs and wonders that really spoke of the resurrected Jesus. What made an impact on the people of Jerusalem? It was the love that the Christians had for each other and the Christians had for people around them. People sold their houses to help people in need. It was the love. It wasn't the healing of people or the miraculous signs. It was the love of the resurrected Jesus in their presence that spoke to the church and spoke to the neighborhood. And there are two things that happened as we talk about God's grace at work. God's grace is powerfully at work in them. And they share not because there's a guilt complex that's placed upon them, that they have to sell their houses to help other people, and there's this power of the culture that, you know, we put pressure on each other. It was not guilt complex that was put on them. Instead, what was it? They shared because God's grace was upon them. God's grace opened their eyes to see that there was more to life than what they have. And they are now willing to share their lives with each other, even to the extent of selling their houses to make sure that a brother or sister is looked after. And I feel that as we go forth into the future, we need to remember what motivates us is not a guilt complex that because someone is doing it in a church, so we have to do it. That's the last thing that I want happening to this church. When we go forward in the future, it is because God's grace is empowering us. God's riches at Christ's expense is empowering us as we move to witness for Jesus, to witness to the resurrected Lord, to share things with each other. Enough of this guilt complex business. I've seen it in many churches, and I pray that God will liberate us from the guilt complex that churches put on people. And then there's a second thing that happens. With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Not only is God's grace in their presence, but the resurrected Lord is with them. And the resurrected Lord shows something that's very deep. And let me unpack it. The person who took Jesus' body from the cross is a guy by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. And he places the body of Jesus in his tomb. Jesus was placed in a borrowed tomb, as they say. And it is reported of Joseph of Arimathea, as he did this, that he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Waiting for the kingdom of God. And this is what happened with the rising of Jesus from the dead. Now, it's a miracle, and I know that because he lives, we can face tomorrow. All fear is gone, as the song goes. I believe in all that. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ points to a deeper truth in our midst, which is this. With the rising of Jesus from the dead, the kingdom of God has broken through the human barrier. The kingdom of God has shattered the death barrier. And God has reminded us that he has landed on our planet in the person of Jesus Christ. And he is bringing into motion a kingdom for himself. And this kingdom is the kingdom that overcomes death, destruction, and the devil. So the resurrection is more than someone being risen from the dead. The resurrection is the kingdom of God breaking through the human barrier and showing us victory over death, destruction, and the devil. A few years ago, I was blessed to take a course on African American preaching. Can you imagine that? A Chinese Malaysian at U of T taking a course on African American preaching? And as you go through an African American church in the United States, you will experience a worship and preaching that's none other. And there is a theology that permeates African American preaching. So recently Christianity Today printed an article in celebration of Black History Month in February, and it talks about the theology that's present in African American churches. And just to take note that this week we had the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that great African American preacher. So just want to share with you what this Christianity Today article says. It traces how early African American Christianity proved the power of resurrection against oppression. In their book, The Genesis of Liberation, scholars Emerson Powery and Rodney Settler Jr. explore what they call the miracle of how many African American slaves came to faith in Christ. For most of them, Jesus was the white man's savior. They used Jesus and the Bible to pacify the slaves and justify their enslavement. Miraculously, many African Americans, though not all, became Christians and attributed authority to the Bible. The question that remains is why? Why did enslaved Africans embrace the religion of their captors who used the Bible to justify the brutal transatlantic slave trade? Here is their simple answer. They fell in love with the God of Scripture. In Christ, they found salvation from their sins and reconciliation. They write that in the Bible, they found not just an otherworldly God offering spiritual blessings, but a here and now God who cared principally for the oppressed, acting to deliver the downtrodden from their abuses. They also found Jesus, a suffering Savior whose life and struggles paralleled their own struggles. As they came in contact with this God, they found a different reality in Him, the reality of the resurrection power. It was the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection that created a community of faith and provided slaves with a theology of resistance. The resurrection had proved its power. They are Christians, even among African Americans. And when I look at this incredible power of the Word of God to pierce through, if you like, the incredible cultural bind that existed for the African-American slaves, and speak to these African-Americans that they experience a liberation, a salvation, I think that God can also do the same for us here. Grant that we may move into the future, putting aside all those interpretations of the Bible and letting God speak to us directly as a people and as human beings, totally transformed by the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Grant that we will be able to comprehend what it means to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and somehow to share in the fellowship of His sufferings, as Paul would say. So I say to you, as we move on from here, let the resurrection speak to you. So Lord, just thank you for this time. Thank you for reminding us today that because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, when we pass through the fire, when we pass through the water, when we pass through the shadows, when we pass through the darkness, You will be with us. Give us the strength when we find it so difficult in the challenges of life to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and somehow to share in the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.